Welcome to the Appleseed, where we bring you and your family great stories from great storytellers. On today's episode, we'll hear a story from Angela Lloyd.
There was not a sound. Everyone had stopped snoring years before.
And from storyteller Shauna Lee.
I've had the strangest dream. And he said it was just a dream. She said, I heard a child, a baby, crying.
I'm your host, Sam Payne, and today we're telling stories about sleepers and dreamers. And we begin with Angela Lloyd, a storyteller from Southern California. She brings us a story of one of the most famous sleepers of all time, talking about Sleeping Beauty. And Angela will be telling a version of this story called Thorn Rosa. It's a story with a song at its center, and she'll accompany herself on the auto harp. We recorded Angela's performance live in the Appleseed studio, and here she is.
This song is a story, and it comes from the Appalachian Mountains. It is sometimes sung as a dance with children moving and singing. It has a part for you to sing back. I sing a line, and you sing the end of it back to me. I sing the line again, and you sing the end back. So I'll give you a demonstration. It goes like this. Thorn Rosa is her name. So in the mountains, Briar Rose is Thorn Rosa. Thorn Rosa was a pretty child, and your part is a pretty child, a pretty child. And then I sing the line again. Thorn Rosa was a pretty child. You sing once, a pretty child. She lived up in a castle high, castle high, castle high. She lived up in a castle high, castle high. Then there came an ugly witch, ugly witch, ugly witch. It really wasn't so much she was ugly. Really, she was more mad than anything else. And you know, when you're mad, it doesn't matter what you look like. You're ugly. Then there came an ugly witch, ugly witch. Well, Thorn Rosa slept 100 years, 100 years, 100 years. Thorn Rosa slept 100 years, 100 years. Well, as soon as she fell asleep, downstairs the gardener had come in. He was having a glass of water, and the water fell asleep in the glass. He was standing looking out the window, and the water fell asleep in the glass. And the cook had just thrown a tortilla up in the air, and the tortilla fell asleep in the air. And the cook did too. And the dog was outside the front door. He had just opened his mouth and he fell asleep. There grew giant high, a thorny hedge, thorny hedge, thorny hedge. There grew giant high, a thorny hedge, thorny hedge. Then there came a handsome prince, handsome prince, handsome prince. Then there came a handsome prince, handsome prince. Well, an old man was out walking that morning, and he saw the young man on the horse, and he waved him down, and he said, said, "Hey, did you bring your sword?" And the boy said, I just polished it this morning." And the old man said, "Well, you look like you could cut through that mess. I mean, others have gone before you. Why don't you give it a try?" And the boy slid off the horse and tied the horse to a tree, gave him some water to drink. And then as the prince raised his sword over those thorns, there are some versions of the story that say every thorn changed into a fragrant white rose. And there's other versions that say the prince raised his sword and he said, "Hi-ya!" He made his way all the way up to the door. And he saw the sleeping dog. And he pushed the door open and he listened. There was not a sound. Everyone had stopped snoring years before. He could hear his heartbeat in his chest. And he made his way up the stairs. And he pushed open a door. And there he saw an elderly woman with sewing in her lap. And he thought, "That's the grandmother. I'm not going to wake her up first." And then he opened another door and there was the king reading a book. And then he opened another and another and finally came to the room where Thorn Rosa was. And he did not kiss her on the lips. His mother told him it would be good to know a person a little bit before you kiss them. And so he just gently just shook her shoulders. And she opened her eyes and she said, "What time is it?" And he said, "Are you hungry?" And she said, "I am, but I think I want to go brush my teeth." And he said, "All right." And he watched her creakily get off the bed and go out and get some water and wash her face. And he opened the shutters of the windows in the bedroom and you could hear the birds begin to wake up. So now we need sleepy bird sounds, please. And she stepped back in the room. "Oh, what a lovely sound." He said, "Should we have a potluck?" She said, "Yes. Thorn Rosa wakened at his touch, at his touch, at his touch. Thorn Rosa wakened at his touch, at his touch." Well, they got scissors and paper and tape and made invitations. And as people woke up, oh, by the way, the gardener's water woke up first. It splashed him in the face. It actually felt kind of good. And he looked out at his garden, oh, and he wished he could just go straight back to bed. Oh. And the tortilla woke up and fell down and tapped the cook on the head. He woke up. Where was I? They invited everyone, especially that lady who was so unhappy at the beginning of the story. They asked if she could bring something that would serve six. She made a sweet potato casserole with a peanut butter crust. She thought, that'll get them. It was delicious. Here's the party part of the song. Oh, all our hearts were happy and gay, happy and gay, happy and gay. Oh, all our hearts were happy and gay, happy and gay. And here's the ending, very traditional ending for a song. Tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la, tra-la-la, tra-la-la. harmony. Tra la la la, tra la la, tra la la. Sing that again. Tra la la, tra la la.
It's fun to hear that version of the story of the Sleeping Beauty told in story and song by Angela Lloyd. And thanks for singing along. You know, the version of that story that most people know comes from Europe, and it's very old. But the song you sang along with Angela is newer, and it comes from the Appalachian Mountains. You know, Europeans settled in those mountains, and they brought their European fairy tales along with them. And before long, those stories took on the flavor of their new mountain home. That's the way it is with stories. They change as people travel with them from place to place. Now, in my imagination, all the tales of my childhood come from the place where I first heard them, the Rocky Mountains of Utah, where I grew up. There were little glens and meadows and canyons around my home that, to me, were the places where Rumpelstiltskin danced by night around his fire, or where the huntsman left Snow White, or later, when I learned to read, where Peter Rabbit and his sisters had their burrow, or even later, where Frodo Baggins and the Fellowship of the Ring made their way perilously toward Mordor. And in that way, those stories became mine. After all, they happened in the place where I grew up, or so they did in my imagination. But of course, those stories aren't only mine. For every story I know, set in a place I imagine from my own world, there's a version of that story and a place for it to be set in the imagination of everyone who's ever heard it. When I got married, one of my favorite things was to compare old stories that I had imagined since I was a child with how my wife, Suzanne, had imagined them since she was a child. It's one of the most important things I learned how to ask my wife, or anyone else for that matter. I know this story the way I see it, but will you tell it to me the way you see it? Asking that question and listening for the answer has opened more and bigger worlds for me to imagine than I ever imagined. That's where Angela's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? It's a pleasure to be with you today on the Appleseed. And before we listen to our next story, we've got another treat from Angela Lloyd. If you've ever seen Angela perform, you know that she plays all sorts of unusual musical instruments. We've just heard her on the auto harp, but she's really known for playing, get this, her washboard. Picture an old-fashioned washboard like you might wash clothes on, or like your great-grandparents might have washed clothes on. Angela's is decorated with ribbons, bells, spoons, and even a bike horn. And Angela hangs that colorful washboard around her neck, takes a wooden clothespin in each hand, and creates a lot of rhythmic magic. We'd like to share a little washboard medley Angela performed when she was in our studio. Here she is.
My washboard was found in a dumpster in Miami, Florida, by a friend of mine. He called going through the dumpsters, going to the street fair. He found it a very exciting thing to do. And for some reason, he brought me this washboard. For some reason, he chose me. We hung it up on the wall with a ribbon. Later, I thought maybe it was a raffle prize from a ladies' luncheon. And the lady went home with it and thought, now what should I do with it? And she just put it in the dumpster. But I was so thrilled he gave it to me because a lot long after, a friend came to visit and she played one. And I spent a weekend watching her play in an outdoor cafe in Miami, Florida. And then after she left, I had a couple weeks where I was thinking, well, Karen Grant plays the washboard, and then I thought, there's a lot of guitar players in this world, and I took the board down. The first thing I did was we cut away the legs and so we could fit the wood block in, and then we added the horn. And so I thought I'd play a couple little melodies for you. Here we go. Kazoo. Before I realized that playing washboard, it brought up all my childhood songs. And so if you ever start to play a washboard, it will bring up yours too. I love this old favorite. Oh, this old man, he played one. He played knick-knack on my thumb with a knick-knack paddywhack. Give a dog a bone. This old man came rolling home. This old man, he played two. He played knick-knack on my shoe. The knick-knack paddywhack. Give a dog a bone. This old man came rolling home. Are you in? Come on in. This old man, he played three. He played knick-knack on my knee with a knick-knack pad. Give a dog a bone. This old man came rolling home. This old man, he played four. He played knick-knack on my door with a knick-knack patty. Give a dog a bone. This old man came rolling home. Now there's balloons hanging off the bottom of it. And these are the musical rests. I want you to listen to the rest. It's a very important part of music. It's when you breathe. Absolutely. So I thought we could do I Love the Flowers, and there's a tupas a part for you. And this is your part, and there is a musical rest in it, so I'm going to sing it once for you. Boom diada, boom diada, boom diada, boom. That's when you breathe. Boom diada, boom diada, boom diada, boom. Boom diada, boom diada. If you would keep that up, that'd be lovely. Boom diada, boom diada, boom diada, boom. Boom diada, boom diada. Well, I love the flowers. I love the daffodils. I love the mountains. I love the rolling hills. I love the firelight when all the lights are glow. Boom diada, boom diada, boom diada, boom. Boom diada, boom diada, boom diada, boom. Boom diada, boom. You could fade it out. Boom diada, boom diada, boom diada, boom. Boom diada, boom diada, boom diada, boom. Boom diada, boom diada, boom diada, boom. Chew. Well done. Thank you so much.
That was Angela Lloyd and her wonderful musical Washboard. Now, to finish up our episode, we have a family story from Shauna Lee, a teller from the United Kingdom. This story is about a dream, one in which we don't know what is really the dream and what is reality. It's a bit of a mystery. It's called The Haunted Necklace, and we recorded it live in the Appleseed studio. Here's Shauna Lee.
Thank you so much. I thought I would tell you a ghost story. It's a rather beautiful ghost story. It's a ghost story that's been in my family for a very long time. And it goes like this. There was a man called Tom. And Tom had met the love of his life during the Second World War. Her name was Rivka, and he had met her in Europe. So you probably know where he had met her. He had been a soldier. He had liberated the camps. He had brought her home. They had fallen in love and got married. But they could not have children. They did not know why. And so the nursery that she had lovingly prepared stayed empty. And Tom found solace in walking to work, 147 paces to the underground, the subway, one tube into the city. He would work from 9 till 5. He would carefully open the greaseproof paper and take out his sandwiches that Rivka had made for him. And then he would come home and he would count the steps back to his door. And as they realised, as the days rolled into weeks and months, that they were never going to be blessed with children, he would watch as she got sadder and quieter. And then the dreams began. One day she woke up and she said, "I've had the strangest dream." And he said, "It was just a dream." But she said, "I heard a child, a baby, crying. And she tore the house apart, looking. And this went on, but the dream seemed to expand. Then she would see a house. And then she would see a gate. And then she would walk up into the house. And it was the old-fashioned houses that you got in Scotland in those days. Just two stories, where you would walk in through the door, and there would be a door that led to a stairway, because they would close the door to keep the heat in. You would go up to one bedroom, and there was a kitchen in the back where they would bring out from under the sink an old bathtub and then put it back. And she could describe this house perfectly, and she would go up, and there in a cot was a baby crying, and it broke her heart. And so she would take a necklace. A necklace that was the only thing that survived from their family. It had been sent over with a sister. It was the most beautiful amethyst set in what they called pinchbeck gold, which is gold that is mixed with other alloys. It's not expensive, but it was all that could be afforded. And it had come over with the aunt, and now it was Rivka's. And in her dream, she would take this pendant and she would hold it over the child, and the child would look, and as the light sparkled off it, the crying would stop, and she would try and hold the pendant, and then the dream would just stop. And she became obsessed with this dream, and she would tell Tom over and over, until Tom one day went to work, and Tom did everything by the book, as we say. Those steps, the work, the 9 to 5, the sandwiches, nothing changed. Tom liked routine. But because he loved her so much, he said to his boss, "Could I take 2 weeks' holiday? I want to take my wife away for a break." And he bought a motor car. And not many people had motor cars in those days. It was an old Model T Ford. It was a second-hand car. It was all he could afford. And they locked the house, they packed up what they needed, and they went for a holiday to Scotland. He thought it was just what she needed. She'd become so quiet and so sorrowful. And she seemed to live more in this dream than she lived in reality. Now, one afternoon, as they were driving through the Highlands, she shouted, "Stop the car!" Now, she was such a quiet woman. She didn't do things like that. He was so shocked that he stopped the car. And before he could do anything, she had opened the door and she was out and she was running across the moors. She was running over the hills and the wild places. And he thought, she's lost her mind. He was terrified for her. So he set off after her. And as he ran, he noticed that the hills gave way to a little road. There was a little village, and he just saw her standing outside a house. And of course, as he got up to her, she said, "This is the house. This is the house in my dreams." and I'm going in. And he said, well, let's not be too hasty about this. You don't know what you're going to find. She said, no, I'm going in. And before he could stop her, she'd wrenched her arm from him. She'd opened the gate. She'd walked down that path and she'd knocked on the door. And when she got no reply, she opened the door and walked in. And the next thing Tom heard was two women screaming. And he was so worried that he ran. And by the time he'd gone up the path, these two women were in each other's arms, sobbing. And this was the story that they told each other that day. Rivka had been having these dreams. She could describe the house perfectly. And it was exactly how she had described it. But the woman said, "You have been haunting us. I have four children and a baby. I lost my husband in the war. The landlord is going to throw us out of the house. I don't know what to do." And the baby screams and screams, and it's only quiet at certain times. And when the baby is quiet, I would come out of the kitchen and I would see you as a ghost walking through the door, walking up to my child, hanging this pendant, this amulet, this sign over my child. I didn't know what you were doing. I didn't know who you were. You were a ghost. And then you came into my house for real. This is a true story. It happened to my great aunt Rivka. And they became friends with that woman. They put all her children through college. And I have the amulet. I have the necklace. And we always call it the haunted necklace. Because if Rivka hadn't had those dreams, she would never have gone there. And if she had never gone there, they wouldn't have had the family that they had. They kind of adopted this woman and her children. So maybe sometimes our soul, our spirit, our longing can be as strong in this world as the next. For Rivka was a ghost while she still lived. But after she met that woman, she was no longer a shadow of herself. Thank you very much.
That was Shauna Lee with The Haunted Necklace. Did you ever have a dream worth remembering, worth sharing? Did your dreams ever manifest in your waking life? That's a story worth sharing too. We hope our stories today by Angela Lloyd and Shauna Lee brought you memories of your own dreams, and we hope you'll share them with the people you love. Because of the Appleseed, we believe sharing and listening to great stories can change your family's world.
The Appleseed is produced by Wendy Folsom,
Sam Payne,
and Brian Tanner.
Our audio engineers are Ashton Parkinson
and Carly Wilson.
The rest of the Appleseed team is Kelly Wehrmeister,
Trent Horton,
Evadane Hendricks,
Miriam Isaac,
and Tristan Schetzel.
A special thanks to the subscribers of our podcast who rate us or leave reviews.
You help people find the show.
We also love to receive emails at theappleseed@byu.edu.
Your thoughts and comments help us to shape the future of the Appleseed.
We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family.
And you can find episodes of the Appleseed wherever podcasts are found, on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org/appleseed.
I'm Sam Payne, and the whole team can't wait to be with you again on the Appleseed.